Exodus 8. Exodus 9, excuse me.
Well, scared me. I thought we were regressing. Going back to more plagues.
Yeah. We're a happy group. Oops,
is this the plague of blight?
Well, that's where we're starting.
I say, get all your jokes out now. That way I won't have to listen to
the plague of blights. Isn't that a veneer of
disease? We waited for you.
No. You heard. The plague of blights. Plague of blains. Is running around Egypt saying, oh, I'm so bored.
You died of terminal boredom.
Go to Egyptian parties and go, this is a boring party.
But look good.
Yeah, we're in little scarabs.
In verse 8, we're going to study 8 through 12, hopefully. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and it shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace, and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magician and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. I told you last time we met that I can't find the name of the god, but there's a similar god in Egyptian mythology, or in Greek mythology, named Typhon. And there was this god was also in Egyptian mythology, and it was a god that he was the final resort. When everything was going bad, then there was a final resort, and you sacrificed a child, or there was not necessarily a child, but you sacrificed a living subject to this god in hopes of satisfying his lust or whatever, which is causing all this terrible circumstances to take place. Now, it's important in Hebrew, when there's an article before the word, and here it's the furnace. He took it from the furnace in the sight of Pharaoh. Well, we know that Pharaoh was near Thebes, or Memphis, excuse me, and that's where the temple was, and it was this beautiful place that was, he had to do the oblations every morning and every evening to the Nile. And there was this furnace there for which the ashes were the ashes of a living sacrifice. Now, the question is, how is this subjectively applied to you? What do you do? What does this typify in you? When do you do this? When do you worship Typhon?
You sacrifice and then you put the ash on your forehead?
No.
No, okay.
No, this is, you just burn them. They just burned the sacrifice after it was done. It's hard to think about because we do it so often, especially if you're at all religious. And that's that. To sacrifice means to give breath to. To worship or sacrifice means to give importance to. Do you understand that? I mean, to pray to worship, to sacrifice, all simply means to give importance to. It's biggie. You gotta come to that understanding. You'll never understand half the scriptures. Does everybody believe that?
Amen.
Okay, do any of you have a problem right now? I mean, is there something that's troubling you? Be honest. It's something that's, you know, that's, there's a particular area that, or arena of your life, or your circle of friends or acquaintances that there's a problem that you've been thinking about. Only Harry? The rest of you are liars.
No.
Huh?
Pete does.
Is there anybody that doesn't have one?
I probably have one somewhere.
Yeah. I can't think of it now because the one problem that was consuming me so much just got solved. So it's almost like I'm in this little period now where I think,
you're happy.
Hey.
Give it 3 days
and
it's
not
continuous. Oh, exactly.
What?
I just sort of waited.
Wait an hour.
Well, what we do, religious people do it all the time when they give importance to Satan. When they say, Satan caused me to do it, or this is Satan's work, or, well, what you do, though, if you're not that religious, is that you dwell, you do the same thing when you dwell on the problem. When you sit there and think about the problem and you keep thinking about it and scheming about it. You know, I'm not talking about something that you do by rote. You know, if you want to go home tonight, when you leave here, you will do by rote. You'll get in your car and you'll turn the ignition on and you'll go do 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 and you'll there's a rote mechanics of getting you from here to there. Or what you do by rote when you eat. If you're hungry, then you don't just go around vroom. You sit down and there's a liturgy of things you go through. And so I'm not talking about that. I'm talking, those are a problem enough, which we'll see in a minute. But the problems that I'm talking about are when you're sacrificing to this, when you're burning a sacrifice in this furnace, are when you become consumed and can think of nothing else with that problem. Yeah. That arena. Now, some of you have been sacrificing to Satan for 10 years that I've known you. You know, Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice. But then I simply saw it as a thorn in the flesh to keep me from having an abundance or taking pride in the abundance of revelation. I mean, the most you can ever, the most God permits you to think about anything is 3 times.
So the fourth time is Satan?
You worship Satan.
Well, as you go farther, as we go farther and farther and farther along, you're not even permitted at an instant. Amen. This is the narrow path that we've undertaken.
So we're starting at 3.
We're starting at 5,000.
Well, you just went from whatever yours was in the past to 3. Tonight. If you continue to give breath to that quote-unquote negative, what you are doing is you're sacrificing, you've become the living sacrifice, sacrificing yourself to the unnamed God. God demands that you do this, that you simply say, He says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You do it once. It's instantaneous. When you do that, you've created a spiritual vacuum. And just as in nature, when if you will permit the analogy, the heat of the sun is the problem that you feel. When that hot air that the sun heats in a particular place, the hot air rises. And as the hot air rises from that place, it creates a low pressure zone. And wind has to come in and fill it. And that's why Christ said that the Holy Spirit will rush in. He's like the wind. He didn't say that by accident. The Holy Spirit is like the wind, who will rush in and meet that need in the instant that you get yourself out of the way, create the vacuum.
Yeah, the wind can't rush without a space to rush into.
That's right. As long as you are consumed in thought, by thinking about what you are doing is you are worshiping, without your knowing it, you are worshiping Satan. Satan simply means the opposer. You are worshiping Satan, and therefore you are consumed with that opposer, where he says in the opposite, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You cast your care upon him. In the instant you do that, there's a you know, and a lot of you do it so righteously. You're saying, well, I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out so I know how to pray.
Problem solved.
No, you're not. You're trying to figure it out so you can get righteousness from solving it yourself. God has put 10 billion obstacles in your path. And you've obstinately and determinedly forged on ahead, leaning on your own arm of understanding. Throughout the Gospels, throughout the Old Testament, lean not on your own arm of understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. You understand? Do you understand what it means that when you sit there and are consumed with figuring out, you are giving breath to the opposer, therefore you are giving breath to that which is in the fire, in the furnace, the singular furnace, and therefore you are worshiping Satan. Hear me, folks, this is big stuff. Now you're allowed to do that. It's gone from 50 billion to 3 in one word, in one sentence structure. Now you're allowed 3. Why? Well, because that's what Paul did. He said, he besought the Lord thrice. And then he saw it as a thorn in the flesh, so that he would not take to himself the abundance of revelation that he was receiving. I hope I'm getting through to you, because a part of you is hearing this. Mm-hmm. I hope it's coming into your consciousness. Now let's look at some stuff. Let's go to Leviticus 18. That's a good place to start. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus.
Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister.
Verse
18?
21.
I'm sorry, what verse?
Leviticus 18, verse 21. This is just in Leviticus 18, and it's a series of specific one-shot kind of whaps. Each one of them is a different subject area. Leviticus 18:21. Now this one, it's on everybody's ignore list throughout the whole world of religion, including the Old Testament, because it's history. Do you understand? Once you take any one of these scriptures and say it's history, then you've become a dispensationalist. Therefore, there are whole arenas of this that you won't have to understand, that won't apply to you.
What's the exact definition of dispensationalist?
Well, it's you think that God does different things in different times.
Different people.
He did this was to the Jews, and this is to the Christians now. Let me tell you, everybody, every religion that I'm aware of outside of this body are dispensationalists.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that that's the name for what it is that I didn't like, but I understand.
Okay, does everybody understand that? Okay, now, here's a scripture that everybody ignores. It says, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God from the Lord, for I am the Lord. Now what the hell does that mean? Thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Okay, now let's go see it again. Leviticus 20, verse 2. What?
I was just reading, I've got this Rari study Bible, and it says, Dedications to Molech, an Ammonite deity, sometimes involves human sacrifice. That was it.
Well, he's right.
I know, it just seems so brief.
And again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. So now we've got to start thinking a little bit. There's only really 46 death penalties that are direct death, instantaneous death. You know, all of them, any sin results in death. 613 laws, all of them eventually will result in death if you continue therein. But for 46 of the penalties or the laws, the penalty was instant death. Letting your seed pass through the fire to Molech is one of them. And that's got to make you think a little bit. Because the others are including murder, blasphemy,
adultery,
etc., etc. We'll go through all those later. But, you know, I don't want to give you more than enough to worry about in one night.
Because we only have three times to
work. That's right. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. Now we're the reason. Because he's cut off, because if he stays in the sanctuary, he will defile it and he will profane the holy name. And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go a-whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among the people. Now, if you see somebody that's passing their seed through the fire to Molech, and you don't say anything, then you are cut off.
And Molech just means trying to make something conform to world standards, or?
We'll go into that. I'm gonna get this other first.
We're
just hear this stuff first. Deuteronomy 18. Numbers, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. What? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. Well, not verse 9 through 14. This will sort of give you a picture of this whole process. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consoler with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect. And the word perfect means completely tested. That's what it means. It doesn't mean some imagery that you have of what the word perfect means. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Now why not? What's God got against astrologers and soothsayers and Molechs and necromancers and sorcerers? What's God got against those guys?
It's our high places.
Yeah, what's that?
But it's your own, isn't it not trusting?
It's what it is. It's you want to know what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. And therefore, by your own sorceries, what you do is you take here and there and you mix them together and you come up with what's going to happen next. And then you force your arena, your circumstances, you trust in oppression to cause those things to take place. Therefore, you've put a covering between you and faith, and there is no faith in your life. And I don't care if you're doing it in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jehovah, in the name of Buddha, it doesn't matter.
Just hit me, the more and the better you can do this, the more prominent you can become in the world.
And in religion.
Huh?
And in religion.
And in religion, right.
You know, just now, this, I see the connection between this and math, mathematics, and their demand for continuous functions.
Yeah. Now,
who's the man?
Molech, if you wrote in the Hebrew the word Molech, it's three of the Hebrew letters, right? M-L-K. This, remember, never, ever, ever, when Hebrew is written, does it include the vowel points. Now the God, the right name for God or king is Melech. M-E-L-E-K. The name for the false God is Molech. M-O-L-E-K. There's one vowel point difference between faith and passing your seed through the fires of Molech. That's why in the ancient, nobody ever, you know, the idiocy of making a Bible understandable, they will automatically put Molech in their translation because that's what makes sense to the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? All your attempts to understand God by the basis of your own arm of understanding are automatically trying to find and understand Molech instead of the Melech. Now, physiologically, what happens is when they passed through the fire, Molech was the god of a bull. I mean, the head of a bull. Why a bull? Because Taurus was the chief god of the age that Israel was in Egypt. God of a bull, a head of a bull, body of a man. Totally hollow, nothing in it. Except fire. And the hands were put out like this, and they built a fire inside and became red hot. I took a child and passed him through that fire, those arms. If the child was singed, then that meant he was an unworthy child and he was burned. If he passed through whole, then he was safe, he was okay. Now, every time that your parents told you any value system that's not based on truth or on the law, they have passed you through the fires of Molech. And any time you expect yourself to continue in that behavior pattern, you're passing the seed through the fires of Molech. And every time you expect someone else to conform to your standards of Molech, you're passing that person to the fire of Molech, and what you will automatically do, you will, if they don't meet your needs, they will be to you as dead, and you have burned them in the fire. Now, I'm talking down to the simplistic things as if you don't finish your vegetables, you cannot have your pie. I'm talking about the things as simple as chewing with your mouth closed. I'm talking about the things that you expect in others with regard to their normal behavior. What you define as quote-unquote acceptable behavior patterns. Every one of them is you passing that person through the fire of Molech. They will not meet the test. Therefore, you will burn them in the fire, and they will be to you as spiritually as though they were dead in that fire. You understand me? Mm-hmm. I challenge any of you to do a scripture search to see how many times Molech, or passing children through the fire, or passing seed through the fire, is talked about in the scriptures. Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. Why, was God just saying that? That was only for the people that were in some Hittite kingdom? Or Canaanite kingdom? No! Do you understand what I'm talking about? You agree?
Yes. Yeah. This is going to seem incredibly stupid, but when you were talking about this before, and in the days in between, I've been thinking about it now. I just had this. It's a totally pedestrian thought, but I keep thinking, well, what if kids weren't raised that way? And actually, now it seems like a lot of them are. And they go through stories screaming their brains out.
But no. Hear me. I want you to raise them by the law.
What would the law say to a screaming child in the darkest?
Well, you. The law says things like, "I'm sorry. Wait a minute. What'd you say?
Shut up.
No, the law says all kinds of wild things.
Yeah.
The law says that child isn't even a human being until it's 12 years old. The law says that child cannot function in an adult arena at all. It's not even to be brought in public with the adult arena until it's 12 years old.
So you're fleeing at home?
Well, again, the structure is set up for Gentiles to take care of the kids. I'm serious. We are starting, you don't understand this yet. But what we are doing as a body here and in the other groups is we're not just creating a Bible study, we're creating a culture with our own music, our own way of raising children, our own language. And it's the culture that existed at the time that this was written, which is the only valid culture. Not discarding anything, but seeing through everything else because it doesn't pass the test of truth. You want to see the law, read the law with regard to applications to children. That's why the only book that was studied in Sunday school or in church school of the kids from the time they were 4 until they were 12 was the book of Proverbs. Read Proverbs. You want to see behavior patterns.
Yeah.
Then when the child was 12, my God, they waited for that day and it was the greatest honor in the history of the world. It wasn't some slipshod thing. It's a different world than what you see. Don't pay any attention to what the world's doing. Nothing. It doesn't matter. There's nothing right out there.
Amen.
Do you understand Molech now a little bit? Now, I want you to be aware of how often you're killing somebody, how often you pass people through that fire, just as certainly as that person in the real passed them through the fire that could burn him and then burn to death. You are doing the same thing, and those ashes that are in that furnace were that, and those people that you have burned, God is taking handfuls of them through Moses and flinging them on you so that you will see you are boils. Now, it's forbidden for Israel to do this in any dimension. Now, the only place Israel can do this, the only place Israel did it, go to Jeremiah.
I'm looking for an help. Is there any difference between us doing this to each other and us doing this to somebody out there in the streets? No. There's no excuse anymore.
Okay. You shouldn't ask, Sarah.
No, I'm just looking for an help.
You should assume
we know. Where is Jeremiah?
Jeremiah 7.
In stereo.
Verse 23.
What chapter?
Jeremiah 7, verse 23. This thing I commanded them, saying, obey my... This is talking about when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Obey my voice, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have even sent you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, that they will not hearken to thee, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished, and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. Now which house is called by his name? You are now the temple. You understand that? And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter, for they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. Now, in Jerusalem, outside the east gate of Jerusalem, this is a picture of the temple behind on the board. It's a picture of the tabernacle in the wilderness, but it's a type of outside of the door was the valley of Hinnom. And it's a big valley. And in Hinnom they set up this idolatry, where they passed their sons and daughters through the fire, and they passed their seed through the fire. Now, all of the New Testament, the word hell is defined as Gehinnom. The Hinnom, the valley. The Hinnom is the dump of Jerusalem.
It's in the east gate?
Yeah, it's outside the east gate. Now, all of this stuff, by definition, if something goes into a dump, it originally had a purpose. When it's used up, then it goes into the dump. Well, that's all hell is. And in the spirit, your residence is permanently now in this new Jerusalem. And you don't have to play games outside in the dump anymore. Do you understand? I mean, that's what hell is. It's just that dump, Gehenna. Now that you've heard, now that you know, you're kind of silly to go play in the dump. I mean, you used to think the dump was a nice place.
Find lots of neat things.
But that's, you know, this. I don't know why. It's so simple, what I've just said about hell and heaven. The New Jerusalem is the surrounding reality, which isn't here now. It's the overriding reality. Hell is everything outside the gate. It's the dump. And so all the questions about heaven and hell, my point to you is that you cannot any longer offer these sacrifices, do this act, while you're in the New Jerusalem. It's not possible. So what you're doing is you're doing it in the dump. The moment you see you're doing it, it's not to cause you, oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't do it, oh, well, poor me. It's just, get out of the fucking dump.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah, I keep thinking of the dump as a place where bad things go. But it's not bad things.
It's just things that have been used up. Mm-hmm. They've served their purpose, and now you put them in the dump. Now, as I've said so often to you before, if you didn't have all this high place stuff up until this time, you wouldn't have known, when you left here, you wouldn't have known how to find your car. Once you find your car, you wouldn't have known how to get home. So all that stuff that was done in the high places served its purpose. All your groves, which caused you to become the weird units that you are, you wouldn't have been able to survive if you wouldn't have had them. But now they don't have any purpose any longer. That's all that we're going to do at the Groves Weekend is just throw a bunch of stuff in the dump. Okay, now this thing where you pass everybody through Molech to meet this stupid standard where you were passed through Molech, you don't have to do that anymore. Now you can begin to see clearly, see with the eyes of faith, see Jesus in that person, and call forth that hidden beauty. And don't be satisfied. Don't fear their faces any longer. That's fearing the dump. That's kind of dumb to fear a dump.
Ooh, the dump.
Ooh, that dump. You understand? Mm-hmm. Let's get back to Exodus. We had never talked about heaven and hell in this group in that way. So. We understand. Hell is just the dump.
It seems so simple because there's so much bullshit about it.
Exodus 8. But, you know, what's funny to me is I've never heard this talk. Never, ever. And I've heard a lot of people teach. And it took me 2 seconds. It was beginning freshman word study on the meaning of hell in the New Testament. One day. I mean, I knew it spiritually, but when I saw that Gehenna was the Hinnon, or the dump. Well, it's not where you go when you've been bad or good, or it has nothing to do with good or evil.
But you can't see that if your system requires continuing to give importance to the dump. You can't call it a dump.
Well, but hear me. Do you understand? That's just, now we can see a new dimension of the blood. You don't have... Didn't have anything to do with good or evil. All the stuff that you've done up to now, it's worthy for the dump. It's not good. It's not good, bad, or indifferent. It's just in the dump. You don't have to play those games anymore. Now behold the new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things become new. All things are new. No, you don't have to act in any certain way anymore. You just have to be you. Amen? Okay. Exodus 9, excuse me. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, you got this imagery now that this furnace is on this place, this beautiful, nice, wonderful place, and the river of life is running in front of it. And you've done all this shit, burned a bunch of people up in the ashes, in the furnace. And God says to Moses, okay, reach in that furnace and take a handful of those ashes. And sprinkle them up in the air. Toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took the ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it upward toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And all the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now don't you see what that is in the Spirit? He's just taking the fruit of your judging your judgments, and he's taking a handful of it, and he's throwing it in the air. And all of a sudden, when he takes those ashes and throws them in the air, you begin to see correctly. What? What's going on?
I'm share with the rest of the
There was a bug flying in front of my face that went like this to grab it. And they looked at me like I was crazy. Barbara about burst out laughing and not all stuff. She just kind of went.
That was 3 plates ago.
Okay, let's go. Let's look at some stuff. Go to Genesis 3:19. All he's doing by these plagues is showing you your condition. Genesis 3. Remember, I've told you, everything in the Bible is centered around Genesis 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. Well, 3 through the end, 14 through the end. Everything. All prophecies, all ancient myths, the battle, everything. The Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The word bruise means to overcome. That's what we're praying, that the seed of woman, there's only been one seed of woman in history. That's Jesus Christ. That's why there had to be a virgin birth, which we're going to study tomorrow night. And the promise is that the seed of the woman is going to bruise the seed of the serpent. Bruise means the head of the seed of the serpent. Bruise specifically means to overcome. And that's what happens in the young man's state. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God is abideth in you continually, and you've overcome the wicked one. I understand there's a whole, you know, there's people can hear me talk for years, and they still don't believe that they are the Antichrist. Because the reason they don't, I know they don't believe it, is because they still give breath to their own thoughts. All right. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and in thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat thy bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. That's what I talked about the other night. You don't want to be under that curse. Now, let's go to Job. The point of this here, when he says, the point of this is that, for dust thou art. Now, that's the point that I'm trying to get to you, is the relationship of this dust from the furnace to your condition, so that you can see correctly. You've been deceived all your life. You've all your life been taught and controlled of how you can become some kind of separate identity. Everything you're doing, everything you try to strive for, is to cause this separate identity to have some worth. That's the lie by which Satan has deceived the whole universe. Everything is under his deception. The truth is, you are dust, but you contain that pearl of great price, which is beyond measure, and in him there is no separation. In him is all wisdom. In him is all revelation. Now what we're about is we're taking the chaff off that seed so that you can see that seed perfectly. Job 42. If you haven't read Job, I'd highly recommend you read it, because it's the process by which this test that you think, oh my God, why in the hell is all this happening to me? It's so that God can say, it's so you'll reach this point. Isaiah 42. Job 42, excuse me. In verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be withholden from thee. That's a biggie. You still think that you're hiding stuff from God. That's really dumb. I mean, it's like, and God's laughing at you because he's saying he's the one that created all that stuff to be there in the first place. Why then are you running around hiding it from him? and you hide it from him, how do you know you hide it from God? Because you hide it from the brethren.
Yeah.
If you say you love God and hate the brethren, you're a liar. If you say that God knows everything and the brethren don't know everything, then you're a liar. Then you're still becoming a respecter of persons. God wants you free. I know that thou can do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. That's all you've done all your life. Things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. What happens then? Whereof I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Aren't you tired of trying to make that pile of dust worth something? Aren't you tired of hiding behind the makeup of your life? Not physical makeup, but the makeup of the imagery you're trying to project? Trying to make yourself into such a nice little person? Well, these boils that came from the fire of the furnace where you have burned everybody you've come in contact with are exposing you for what you are. Rest in it. You've heard of him only from the hearing of your ear. Now let your eyes see him. And you will repent. And you will see yourself in dust and ashes. You got to be tired of it, right?
Yeah.
This constant pressure to put on a face, to put on something, to make yourself worthy, to make sure you don't say the wrong thing. Screw all that. Yeah. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah, it's right after Psalms. It's Job and then Psalms and Isaiah. Well, and a couple and then little ones and then Isaiah. Isaiah 1.
But I know the one you're going to. You got me fired off the radio first time.
This is Isaiah, and it gives his genealogy and something. And then in verse 2 it says, Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Now, iniquity there... You all think iniquity means something you do, like, you know, you've gotten
bad deeds.
Well, it is, but it's all deeds. Iniquity is the Hebrew word avon. It means self-effort. Avon calling. It's self-effort.
It's one commission after another.
That's what God defines as iniquity. God helps those that help themselves. I bet every one of the people you know think that's in the Bible.
Where did that come from, anyway?
It isn't
Benjamin Franklin in 1779.
Well, if he wouldn't have done it, you would have invented it. A seed of evildoers. Now, that's a very, very... That's a bad translation. It says a seed of the evil one. That's the son of the serpent. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire. I mean, this is, God is, if you pray to, sometime pray to see as God sees. And this is what you'll see. This is on fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers, etc., etc. But I want to stop on verse 6. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Okay, back, if you will, to Exodus 8 or 9. In verse 10, and they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it upward toward heaven, and it became a boil, breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. The boil is the act of there being a mound there. The blains is the act of it shooting forth pus.
Ooh, yeah, it says in here it's like an ulcer or something.
It's to belch forth an inflammatory pustule, an eruption. That's what a blain is.
Yeah, I always thought it might be that.
Yeah, hey, yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with Daryl, but and don't tease him about it.
Yeah.
What?
Don't
eat my last name.
What's your last name?
What's your last name? Chambers.
Nah, change it.
Do you understand? It's the boil, that thing, which your judgments, where you have caused people to pass through the fire, where you have put them into the fire, they will be what causes you to see your true condition. And God has a sneaky way of doing that to you. He says that whatsoever you judge another person of, you're guilty of.
That is such a catch-22.
That's a biggie. Now, okay, Isaiah 38, verse 21. Hezekiah, the king, is really sick. He's got blains all over his body. And Isaiah said, verse 21, for Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and he shall recover. What is a fig?
Israel,
your true identity.
So it's just it's like the solution every time is to surrender.
It's to see.
Yeah, well, same thing.
He's got a...
Every time.
So simple.
Isn't that cute?
But see, once you do that, then you'll never judge anyone else again. Because you've seen your own condition.
Yeah, and as you see Jesus Christ, you should be like.
Amen. He came not to judge. So neat. That's all. Ever and always. Every parable in the scripture says the same thing. What about reason? What about thinking? Well, Isaiah said a little bit earlier, Isaiah 1, he said, come now, let us reason together.
To get rid of those ones together.
Though your sin be as scarlet, which in Hebrew, what it says that's the highest form of reason you can come to. No matter how far you push reason by your mind, you'll come to the point, if you're honest, you'll come to the point where your sin is as scarlet. You're full of your wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. You put the fig on it, and all of a sudden, you're the apple of his eye, the image of his creation, the purpose of time and space. You're no more an independent self. all things now exist for your purpose. You own all things. And you're free beyond freedom. Your only requirement is to be yourself. Outwardly, openly, everywhere. Commending yourself to every man's conscience openly in the sight of God and men. Instead of this fucking hiding. Okay. You understand the plague of boils now?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about that where it says he lifts the poor and needy out of the dung heap, but he doesn't lift you out until you know you're poor and needy.
Amen. Remember, he was always born in the manger, the lowest place. The manger wasn't a nice little manger. It was a cave. Stinky, smelly, dung-filled cave. Because there was no place else for him to be. Only with the poor and the needy. Amen?
Amen.
Can you digest all this stuff tonight? Molech, Melech, vowel points, blames, figs,
praying three times.
300,000. A lot of stuff, a lot of meat tonight.
Yum.
Take it, big guy.